Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. We're going to look again today at dimensions of who Jesus is, the reality that Scripture speaks so beautifully and in so many ways of the titles of Jesus that reveal dimensions of who He is, His glory, His majesty, His power, His beauty, His mercy, His kingship, all these things. And at a time like the one we're living through right now, friends, where there's so much discouragement, so much division, so much fear that grips people. Always remember, you know, the Scripture describes the human battle against and with fear. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. It's the devil's strategy to enslave the human race through the fear of death. There's a shadow, the shadow of death. Was it the Magnificat? Was Our Lady, or was it the Zechariah's Canticle? I think it's Zechariah's Canticle. You know, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, the shadow that casts itself. And it grips people. And when we live through times where there's a lot of death, a lot of sickness, where there's things that we lean on, props that hold us up are shaking, it disrupts our confidence. And then one of the things it reveals and why the Lord permits that shaking to happen, friends, is it reveals the condition of our heart. What do I mean by that? What happens to us when pressure begins to come? What gets revealed? And what gets revealed often is the kind of things that we're seeing. An increase in despair, increase in discouragement, increase in anger, chaos, confusion, violence. All kinds of things emerge. And all it does, it corresponds to what Jesus said as he diagnosed the human heart himself. He's like the ultimate physician, and he understands what's inside the core of human beings. And he said, he was asked the question, if you eat certain foods, will it defile, you know, defile us? Because the Jews had practices of what foods that would make them clean or unclean, right? Or habits and different kinds of things. And so ritual cleansing was always a part of their whole life. It was being conscious of what defiles us, right? And Jesus said, he kind of turns it on them and says, it's not what comes from outside a man that defiles him. It's what comes from within. And he said, look into your heart. What's in the human heart? Anger, jealousy, rivalry, conceit, bitterness, anger, lust, hatred, unforgiveness, murder, all that. That's there. This is what's in every human being. And you can see we're mixed because we're fallen. We're created in God's image and likeness. And what God created was good. He said it was very good, but the human race fell. So we're a mixed bag. And we're caught into a kind of slavery. And what we know is that Jesus came by the Father's will to deliver us from that slavery, to conquer sin, and to bring about a new creation. There's a passage in the book of Revelation chapter 5, which is really beautiful, and it exalts the Lord. And it's so important for us in these times to exalt him, to gaze upon him, to talk about him, to understand all the dimensions of his greatness and his goodness and his beauty. Because guess what? In the heavens, the angels absolutely glorify him. The saints are glorifying him. They're sharing in his glory, an absolute experience of holiness and joy and bliss. And we can have a foretaste of that. That's why joy is meant to be such a characteristic of the Christian life. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And the Spirit is teaching us about Jesus. And the more we know about him, the more we know about the Father, the more we know about ourselves. Because remember, Jesus came to teach us about who the Father was, to bring us to the Father. He came to teach us about who we are, our origin, our purpose and destiny, how we're meant to live our lives. And so the more we see him, we see the meaning of our own lives. The more we see him, that we see the Father. And so this is where Christian joy comes from, because the Spirit of God opens up for us and helps us see the relationship we're in with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and what that actually means. So here's a beautiful passage. It's kind of a long one. I might start it today, finish it tomorrow. I want to read a little commentary on this first. Now I'm going to read a commentary. I'm talking from Revelation chapter 5, where Jesus, where the Lamb of God holds the scroll, the covenant scroll. And I'm reading this from the Ignatian Catholic Study Bible, New Testament, second edition. And here's what it describes in this section. It says, a covenant document, which is a scroll that I'll read that Jesus will be holding, the Lamb will be holding, whose written decrees are put into effect in different chapters in the book of Revelation. It says the scroll is sealed, like the prophetic visions of Daniel in the Old Testament, and has writing on both sides like the tablets of the Decalogue and the judgment oracles of Ezekiel. So the judgments about God's plan. So this is like the title deed of human history is in the hands of one person. It's in the hands of Jesus, who's the one that's worthy to take it up and open it. The divine authority to administer the blessings and the curses that God spoke about in the Old Testament. The commentary goes on. It says, the sealed book refers to sacred scripture, for it was opened by no one except Christ, whose death, resurrection, and ascension opened access to all the mysteries it contained. None but the Lord could reveal the hidden meanings of the sacred word. It's quoting here Gregory the Great. Wax seals prevent access to the rolled up scroll. So here's the reading. And I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to break the seals? So the Father, God the Father, is holding the scroll, and the angel saying, who is worthy to open this scroll, which is the title deed, as I said, of history? And it opens up all of God's covenant promises, his blessings, as well as the curses that will come upon those that refuse to acknowledge him and walk in his ways. Verse 3, and no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I wept much. This is John now. He's recording. John is the prophet here in the book of Revelation. Some say it's the Apostle John. And I wept much that no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. Then one of the elders said to me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. God himself in Jesus entered human history, the story of history. He's the one who brought light into the darkness. He's the one who put it back on course. He's the one who brought salvation. And he defeated the ruler of this world, Satan and all his dominions, the kingdom of darkness. On the cross, he destroyed the devil's rule and dominion over human history, over human beings. That's why it says, he's the one who has conquered. He's conquered sin. He's conquered Satan. He's conquered death. He's conquered evil. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the one who can take that scroll given to him by the Father. He can open it because he's ultimately the one the Father has put in judgment over history itself and given him authority to fulfill the Father's eternal plan for his creation. Verse 6, and between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns, with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. So the one who took the scroll, this is the image, it was a lamb that had been slain, but he was standing. Who is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world? John the Baptist told us, right? Behold the Lamb of God. It says he took the scroll. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and with golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood, you ransomed men for God from every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation, and have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. They're declaring the victory of Jesus. He is the one who is worthy to open the scroll. And what has he done, right? Because through the shedding of his blood, he ransomed, he bought back a race of people, human beings that were trapped in sin and needed to be brought out from every tribe, from every tongue, from every people. And this is so beautiful, verse 10, and he has made them a kingdom of priests to our God. You know, everyone who's baptized into Jesus, the Catholic Church reminds us that we are baptized, we're into Christ, and we share in his priesthood. We're priests, prophets, kings. We're the body of Christ, so we share in his priestly role, which is what? To give praise and worship to God the Father and to make our lives, our entire lives, an offering and sacrifice to God. That's a privilege. It's a total privilege. And to unite our offering, Jesus makes it possible. This is why he's being honored and celebrated. The martyrs who died in Jesus, who died, shed their own blood was shed, bearing witness to Jesus and being faithful to him to the end by the grace of the Holy Spirit. They now as well can pray and can sing out. They know their lives were an offering in imitation of Jesus' offering. And Jesus' offering is the one that brought down the kingdom of darkness. Jesus gave to God what belongs to God. Jesus made a perfect offering of love. He fulfilled all the commandments to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. The priorities of God for the human race were perfectly revealed in Jesus Christ and that act of love by which we were saved. And now he's the king of a new kingdom. And the kingdom is filled with priests, prophets, and other kings that share in his kingship. That's your destiny and my destiny if we're faithful to the Lord and we walk with him to the end. The reading goes on. It says, then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels numbering myriads of thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, wealth, wisdom, and might, honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all therein saying, to him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be blessing, honor, glory, and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Who are they worshiping? They're worshiping Mary's son. They're worshiping Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the God-man, the Savior of the world. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. Friend, St. Paul was so captivated by the vision of Christ, of our Lord Jesus. He touched, he saw, he experienced the excellence and the overwhelming grace that comes in knowing Christ Jesus the Lord, and the superabundance of the pleasures and the gifts of heaven that are given to us. Friends, if we can lift our eyes to the heavens and cooperate with the Holy Spirit and step into this grace of knowing Christ, this is the inheritance of the Christian people. This is why the apostles and the martyrs and the saints, they could endure anything that came against them, because they were so profoundly united to the Lord, and not because they were born perfect, but because they accepted Jesus' words and the words of Scripture as true, and they leaned into it, and they followed the saints that went before them, and they trusted, and God did amazing things through them, and they walked profoundly and experienced the fruits of the Holy Spirit within them. God bless you, friends. Let's pray for that in our own lives. Hope we can see you tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The Scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.